Good morning. The title for my lesson this morning is, Are You Smoking? Not tobacco, more like incense. How many here have ever burned incense before? Okay, good. So a lot of you know that if you watch the smoke, it's really kind of cool. It kind of goes, it generally goes upward, but curls around and loops back down and goes back up and just kind of sits there and smolders. Well, we had an opportunity, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, can't remember exactly now, but we went out to Earlham. They had a reproduction of the tabernacle out there. It's supposed to be life-size with a few altercations of the tabernacle there. And we went there and we're sitting there and you go in through the curtain and the outer court and you go in through that curtain and they have some chairs there and you sit there and you got these earbuds in and so they're talking to you the whole time you're doing that. And you're sitting there and first thing I noticed was a smoke there from the altar. They had the altar there, and the smoke was coming out of it, and it smelled good. So, which is not accurate. If you've ever burned, singed the hair off your arm, or singed chickens, or let's see what else. I can't think of another example right now, but it doesn't smell very good. But this, they were burning just wood. So, it smelled pretty good. And so I noticed that. And then you go up to the altar and you look in there. And, I mean, that was... I'll let you know that the Levites were not weaklings. They had to have been pretty muscular dudes. Because the sides of the altar were this high. And then you start throwing sides of beef up on there. I don't know. They'd been pretty good-sized people. And then you go on to the laver, and then you go on to, let's see, there were some other things. Anyway, you end up going into the tabernacle itself. And then in there they have the lamp with the different... I'm screwing up the details now, but... I think it's seven lights on there. And they had that burning. And then they had the incense burning in there. And I was, you know, it was going, there was a lot of incense in there going. I don't know whether, how much they actually had in the tabernacle going, but there was a lot in this one going. And then when you went into the Holy of Holies, you took incense with you. So that there was just smoke everywhere. I mean, there was because I mean it's there's no windows, and the opening was a slit in the curtain, so it wasn't just like it was hanging open. And there was actually they did have fans in there and moving it around. So I can imagine before electricity, there probably was pretty heavy smoke in there. Genesis 8:20-22 says, Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Pleasing aroma. how much sense did that make? Just went through a real climate change, and you can put all the people left on in creation in your kitchen. Okay, so all eight, if there was babies born in that time, maybe, all right, we'll double it, 16. Okay, you can get 16 people in your kitchen, probably, no matter how small it is. And all the animals that are alive that aren't swimming are behind you in the boat you just came off of. And you go and kill some of all the clean ones. How much sense did that make? Can you imagine environmentalists now? If I go out and kill a deer, white-tailed deer, out of season, they'll take everything I got except my underwear and throw me in jail. Because that's upsetting the ecosystem. Anyway. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense in human terms. But God thought it made a whole lot of sense in me. What did he think about it? He smelled the pleasing aroma and made promises to Noah on how life would be. Exodus 30. Six through eight. This is Moses is building or receiving direction on the tabernacle. 6-8. Put the altar in front of the curtain. This is the altar of incense. Put the altar in front of the curtain that is before the Ark of the Testimony. Before the atonement cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron will burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Okay. So here we actually have the tabernacle. And they're the altar of incense, and they're burning the incense on it, and how God wanted it done. So it's in the morning and twilight and regularly. The King James says perpetually, perpetual incense. So the incense was supposed to be burning all the time except for sleeping time, pretty much. Okay, Revelations 5 and 8. Revelation 5 and 8. All right, I'm going to skip the first part of the verse. And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This is what I thought of when I was in the tabernacle, and all this smoke is slowly curling up towards the ceiling. And then when you went into the Holy of Holies, you had to have the incense. I didn't look that up, but I'm pretty sure that the priest had to take incense and blood with him when he went into the Holy of Holies. Does that sound correct? I'm pretty sure that's correct. But he had to have those when he went before God. And then I was thinking, all the smoke from the sacrifice to the incense, all altar of incense, and then when you went into the Holy of Holies, you had to have more of the same incense with you. It just got me to questioning my prayer life. Because if the if my prayer life is the incense that I'm burning to God, and if this is a pattern of what God wants, my tabernacle isn't very smoky. It's kind of clear. And if that's probably not very pleasing to God. Now, let's flip to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 7. First Peter 4 and 7. The end of all things is near. How many of you ever felt like that? Yes. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. I ran across this and was thinking about it. My biggest problem with prayer I guess this is going to sound bad and cold, maybe, but prayer seems like a waste of good time. Like, I'm whining to God when I could be out making a plan and doing something, you know, accomplishing something, preparing for something, doing something constructive. That's kind of the gist of this, the main question for this lesson, I guess. So, if you read this backwards, I mean, not strictly backwards, but just in theory. So you can pray. Okay. So, we know that we're supposed to pray. So I need to be self-controlled, okay, and I need to be clear-minded because the end of all things is near. And I was going at that from a totally opposite direction. The end of all things is near, so I need to run around like a chicken with my head cut off and get something done. What God wants me to do is stop and pray to God, go to God, because with all of my best thrashing around, what am I really going to get done? Is the end still going to come, right? And things are still going to fall apart. So I need to be self-controlled. So take the time to pray. So stop and pray. And be clear-minded. Well, why is that clear-minded? Well, it's clear-minded because I know who's already won the war. It's God. God's already won the war. And so, if things are a little crazy right at the moment, and if I'm thinking straight, then I know that God's already won all this, and so all I have to do is follow God. Let's go to Luke 21. This is Jesus speaking, so that has its own merits. Luke 21. See if you can see yourself in this. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close upon you like an unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. So there's no exceptions. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Okay, so What do we need to be able to stand before the Son of Man, before God? What do we need? We need this right here, right? We don't need all this other stuff we're running around trying to gain. We don't need that. So we got to be careful. Time goes quickly. How many of you have noticed that? I get to Thursday and I'm like, Thursday? I just gave the lesson, didn't I? Where'd Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday go? And then I get to October 1st and I'm like, didn't we just have the New Year's party? You know? And then when I get to 48, I'm like, 48, I graduated in 85. You know, like, man, where's all the years gone? And then I can imagine, when I die, I'm going to like go, wasn't it just my birthday? Wasn't I just born? Your life is like a vapor. Time goes. So why pray? Why pray? Doesn't that seem like... I just looked at Morgan's notebook and it had something funny written on the front in French or something. Crepe, something about denim and... Yeah. Okay. So what's that mean? She told me. It says, seize the day. Well, doesn't that mean run out and get as much done as you can? So why pray? Well, for one, we're commanded to, in sort of a soft way. I found verses for all of these. I didn't bother. I mean, I wrote them down. I got them. But I'm not going to go to them all. We are to be watchful, thankful, without anger and disputing. That's a tough one. Devoted, faithful, persistent, clear-minded, self-controlled, and all of those are tied into prayer. And with the command to pray. So why would we do all those? I mean, why? What's so we can avoid temptation and trouble? That's one reason. Another reason is to bring glory to God. Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, bring glory to God. And it also keeps our perspective right. So I forgot one more. Because we want to. Because we want to. And I'm going to read a few scriptures. I don't know if he's mentioned prayer, but they sure give us a good reason to pray. Ephesians 3. Wrong direction. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. Yeah, it does mention prayer. For this reason I kneel before the Father. Well, maybe not prayer, but for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in all your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I need to remember that all the time, don't I? That's powerful. That's what God can do for us. And prayer is one of our ways that we access God. That's how we talk to Him. That's how we glorify God. One of the ways. Hebrews 4, 14, 16. Hebrews is that big book that hides so well. Okay. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And we got an invitation to go into the Holy of Holies and burn our incense before God. It's a great thing. 1 John 2, 1 through 2. My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if we screw up, we can go to God. We can go to Him, and He will defend us or represent us. And then Romans 8. In 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Isn't that great? We don't even have to have the right words. We just, I don't know what we have to do. We just have to start mumbling and have the attitude we're before God, and the message will get through. And it's great. So what is prayer? I went to Strong's, started looking things up, and it was a little interesting. There's the two most common. I didn't even bother writing the Greek down. So 4-3-3-5 and 4-3-3-6 are the most common Greek words for prayer. Let's see here. 4-3-3-5 means prayer, worship, by implication, and oratory chapel. Pray earnestly. So, just praising God. That's one of the most common uses of the word prayer. When you read a verse with prayer in it, that's one of the most common ones. It's just flat out praising God. Piling on the compliments. And 4-3-3-6 is to pray to God, for an example, supplicate, worship earnestly for, make prayer. So that's almost identical, except I have this little request in there mixed in with all the praise. Maybe it's a big request, but I mean, the request is put in there with the praise to God. And then there's a couple others. There's one, the supplications. You've heard of the supplications being used. Petition, prayer, request. You're making a request of God. It means to beg, as binding oneself, to beseech. So it's not just asking for a favor. It's kind of like I'm begging for this, earnestly want this. And okay, and then intercessions. I only found one place that this was used, and I didn't do a exhaustive search at all. But it was. That's wrong. I'm sorry. Then intercessions means to interview, to confer with, to entreat, to make, to deal with. So I think that's very similar to the request. You're dealing with God, or you're asking for things. And then thanksgiving. A gratitude act, or to act grateful language to God as an act of worship. So you're telling God, thank you for my pillow and my blankets and my mattress. I got such a good night's rest last night, and I wasn't in a cardboard box out on the street. You know, stuff like that, where you're thankful for the things you have, and in the same time you're praising God because He has provided for you. Okay? And then there's one more, which I thought was really neat. 2172 means to wish, by implication, to pray to God. And I found this used once, and it was in conjunction with somebody has confessed to you, and you are praying to them, or for them. You are praying for them, and you are making a wish to God for them. I thought that was really neat, because we always think of God as our genie in the lamp. We rub the lamp, and He comes out, and we get three wishes. I think we're heavy on the request side and a little skinny on the praise side. At least I am. So I found those very interesting. So, why is prayer not a waste of time? This is my struggle. I have so much to do. So what is the problem with that? That's the problem with that. I have so much to do. Because I'm taking it on me. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Now, we'll see how this works. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For the life of me, I cannot remember what Charles talked about last Sunday. But I can remember, I was thinking about this lesson. And while he was giving the lesson, I was like, oh, that goes perfectly with what I want to talk about. And I can't remember what he talked about, but it was something about letting God be in control, right? Okay. And that, when I don't pray, I take it all on me, okay? I can do this. All I have to do is work longer, harder, be stronger, be faster, you know, all this stuff, and I'll get it done. You know, like Greg says, sleep's for when you're dead. And, you know, I kind of think you die because you don't sleep, maybe. But anyway, if I can't do it, How many of you have realized that? I hope some of you have realized it. There's no way I can do it. It's just not going to happen. So I love this scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. Rejoice. And I think that is the point of the our lives, perhaps. I mean, if we don't, like the Lord, Charles's Lord's Table, if we don't have that joy, then why would anybody want, or there was class even. We were talking about that in class, weren't we also? If we don't have that joy, why would anybody want to be here with us? I mean, we're a bunch of grumps, you know? Like, who would want to be one of my kids? My main job description is I suck the fun out of everything. You know? So, you know, they just didn't get to choose. They happened to be born in my family. So, anyway. So, rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I should pause on that one a little bit more. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's another verse that I found in all kinds of prayers, and it named off several of them. I could probably find it for you, but I'm out of time. So put all this into practice. So present your request. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of God. That's why we pray. We pray for, that's what we get out of it. And then we praise God because He's given us all these things. And so we tell Him about it. Thank Him for them. Praise Him for them. Tell Him about it. And then I want to close with 1 Peter 4, back to my prompting verse, I guess. 1 Peter 4. Oop. 4 and 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Isn't that what this is all about? Covering over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So that's why we pray. Praise God, to bring Him glory and honor. That's why we do anything. Why do we come here? To bring glory to God. Why do we love each other? To bring glory to God, because He told us to. We're obeying Him. We bring glory to Him. People look at us and, well, why do they act that way? It's because of God. And when somebody says, well, how'd you do that? How'd you get through that? I skipped one of the verses I skipped. I'm going back to. We're real close here. Philippians 4, 12. Oh. No. Should have made better notes. No, it's the 1 Thessalonians. All right, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay. Yeah. Well, that isn't it. Anyway, it's talking about how Paul says, I've learned the secret to being content. I was pretty sure I wrote that down. It's not in Philippians. Maybe it is Philippians. I was right there. I'm flipping the wrong way. Ephesians. No. Oh, yes. Right there. Okay. If it would have been a snake, it would have bit me. Okay. Let's go down to verse 12 and skip about halfway through it. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. So when somebody asks you how you did something, don't say, well, I just put my big boy pants on and got the job done. Say something along, well, God gave me the strength, or something along those lines, because that's what really happened. God made your big boy pants, and He made the boy to put in them, so it was God that did it. So give Him the glory for it. I think it's little things like that that give you the opportunity to talk to those around you about God. So, anyway, that's my thoughts for this morning. My goal is to pray more, if you can't tell. And smoke the place up, I guess. So we'll offer the invitation this time. God is very forgiving, very loving, and there's nothing that you have done that it can't be forgiven if you want to be forgiven. And so if you have anything that you want to bring before the church, you can do so as we stand and sing the closing song.